what does it take to get plugged into the church? What does it mean to truly love the church? And when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. You and I are the church. No one stays at a church simply because there's good speaking. No one stays at a church simply because of something they specifically like. They stay at a church because they're invested in relationships with the people that go to that church. Amen? So there are different places and locations and buildings that we all eventually have to visit in our life, right? I'm not talking about Disneyland. All right, and I'm not talking about Six Flags. Those are want-to places, right? I want to go there. But there are places and buildings that we have to go to in life. How many of you guys have ever been frustrated with the DMV before? It's not a favorite place to go. When you think of the dentist, what do you think of? Pain? Costly? Torture? Oh, my. Stressful? All right. Not very good rave reviews, right, of all these places that we have to go to. Now, these are places that in our life that we have to go to. They're not there because we want to go to them, right? We don't want to go to the DMV. We don't want to go to the dentist's office. We don't want to go to the grocery store all the time. It's not something that we look forward to. We don't take vacation time out to go to the DMV, right? And so here's the thing. If I were to put a picture of our church up on the screen, a picture of New Freedom Church, you don't have to answer out loud, but what would be some of the things that you would come up with? The church. Now, for some people, the church can be crabby. It can be overwhelming. To some people, it can be stressful. To some people, it can be overwhelming or even torture. It can be a place that you look at the church like you look at the DMV, like you look at going to the dentist's office, like you look at when you go to the grocery store, to the place that you have to go to. And if you think about it, if someone were to come in here, when you go to a new church, all right, it is stressful, right? It's kind of overwhelming. People come up to you. People don't come up to you. People have really bad experiences in church, right? I'm not up here today to convince you that the church has no flaws and that it's perfect in every single way, because it isn't. Do you know why it isn't? Because you're in it. Because I'm in it. Because we're flawed human beings. I wonder what people would say if we put a picture again of the church, of our church, up on the screen. We look at church and we see that sometimes it is a place that we have to go to. A place, well, all right, it's Sunday again. I guess we have to do this. We've got to go. When we look at church not as a life-giving place, not as a place that where you go to experience the Word, to experience fellowship, to experience the opportunity to worship the Lord, to give, to connect with one another, to grow spiritually. Sometimes we don't look at it that way. Sometimes we just look at it, well, this is what we do on Sundays, and no matter if we're sick, no matter if we're whatever, we're going to do it. We're just going to go. We're going to gut it out and go. Now, is that what God has intended when He had created the church? No, it's not. Was that His idea for this community of people? No. I believe the Bible tells us that's not God's plan. I believe that God wants us to love the church, not love what we see in the news sometimes or maybe have experienced in the past, but love the church as He intended it to be. Amen? That's what this series is going to be about. Now I want you to turn with me to John chapter 13. If you don't have your Bibles, it should be up on the screen. John chapter 13. Here's what's happening here. Jesus is giving us a glimpse into what the church's foundations is supposed to be, okay? John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35, it says, "A new command," this is Jesus talking, "a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus understood what the fabric of the church is all about. And the first thing that it's all about is love. Jesus said, again, "A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you." So he gives us a standard upon which we are to love people. He gives us his standard because he demonstrated his love to us, didn't he? Jesus doesn't do this, okay? He doesn't just throw out commandments and just say, "Good luck." He demonstrates those commandments to us in order that we may mimic what he does. Jesus said, "I only want to do what I see my Father doing." You know, when Joshua was really small, for Halloween one time, we never let the kids go out and do all that, but I always buy these tracts and I hand them out. I mean, when in all other time of the year do you have people coming to you? And so I hand out these awesome tracts with candy and all this stuff in it. And Joshua wanted to dress up in my Mid-South Painting shirt. For those that don't know, I used to own a business called Mid-South Painting back in Tennessee. And so he wanted to put that on. He wanted to put my shirt on, my work shirt on, and my hat that I wear all the time, and a brush in his back pocket. He sees me doing that all the time. Little kids like to mimic their dads. From the time that he was old enough to talk up until about the third grade, he wanted to be a painter just like his dad. That's all he wanted to do. He would say, "Dad, would you buy me a paintbrush, my own paintbrush that's mine so that I can paint?" And every time I painted something in the house, I'd let him dip that brush down in there and paint the walls. Of course, I'd roll over it real quick so he didn't mess it up. But I would let him dip the brush, and I'm real particular about painting, and so I like to keep my brush clean. I don't like the paint getting up on the metal and on the wood part. And so Joshua just dips his way down in there, and brings it back up, and just starts going at it. Because that's what he sees his dad doing. He tries to mimic what his dad does. And I allow him to do that. I allow him to make the mistakes so that he can get better at it. And you see, whenever I first started out painting, I didn't do it perfectly. I got paint on stuff I wasn't supposed to get paint on, mostly on me. I got it on carpets. I got it on the trim. I got it on everything but what I was supposed to get it on. But the guy that was teaching me was patient, and he knew that mistakes was part of it. And Jesus demonstrated his love for us so that when he said, "Love, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." We don't always get it right, do we? But we're working on it. And the way that we work on it is by saying, "Lord, if there be any bitterness inside of me that is hindering me from loving your people, loving others, then get that bitterness out of me. Release that. Heal me from this bitterness." And the only way that bitterness can be released from our lives is by pinpointing that bitterness and admitting you have it in your life. A lot of people walk around and they're like, "I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I don't hate that person." But your life screams that you do. It affects your health. It affects your mentality. It affects the decision-making in your life. Everything in your life screams you have bitterness. And the only way that we can love one another as Christ loved us is to get that out of our life and to root it out, to starve it out. Amen? See, what happens is that bitterness tends to grow the more we feed it, the more we concentrate on it, the more we fixate on it, the fiercer it grows within our heart and our spirit. And the only way that we can truly love and become part of this crazy thing called the church is by first getting rid of that bitterness in our life that hinders us from loving others the way Christ loved us. And it's very difficult to do, right? But I want you to look in, I want you to look again. Here it says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Verse 35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So a direct result of you getting bitterness and resentment and hatred out of your life is that Jesus fills you with his love so that you can supernaturally love your neighbor. Amen? And the Bible says that a direct result of that is everybody else will know that you are his disciple because you love one another. It's self-evident. And we can't love ourselves until we have received the love that Christ has given us. Amen? We can't forgive ourselves until we first receive the forgiveness that Jesus gave us when he died on the cross. We have got to start with Jesus first. Amen? We can't just come into the church and say, hey, I want to be a part of the church, but yet you know nothing about Christ. Because what happens is that we begin to get a critical spirit. Everything's exciting at first. Wow, that Southern boy, he can preach. Dana boy, she can sing. Those ushers, they do a good job. The kids ministry is fantastic. I love it. But then you let a month or two go by and you're like, hey, they didn't do that right. Hey, my kid was left out during the offering. He didn't get to pray. Or I was sick and you didn't call me. How come you didn't call me? And all of a sudden we begin to get critical about the church. And the reason why we get a critical spirit is because we don't know Jesus. We didn't start with him first. Jesus is the head of all things. Amen? In him, all things hold together, and that includes our life. And if we want to be a part of the church, we must start with the very fundamental, basic, foundational principle that the church was founded upon, and that's Jesus. It's him. That's what the church is founded upon. It's not about good programs. It's not about eloquence of speech. It's not about good ushers or kids programs or anything, small groups or whatever it is. It's about Jesus and him first. Amen? The church was founded upon these things. Now, this verse is a picture of the church to come as well. See, Jesus gives us truths and in slices. How many of you guys know that bread tastes better in slices? You can't just shove like a whole loaf down your throat and expect to enjoy the thing, right? That's why we have sliced bread. It tastes wonderful, all right? You get to enjoy it by the slices. And that's what Jesus is doing to his disciples yet. We know that in John, the church is not formed yet, so he's giving us a glimpse, a picture of what the church looks like and the foundations upon that. And that is love. The church will start in Acts. We know that when the Holy Spirit comes. But here we find Jesus meeting with his disciples, telling them how his followers should be known, what the reputation will be of this community he is creating. They will be a people known for their love for one another. Church people are meant to love one another. Can I get an amen? It's not optional. It's not an elective that you can sign up for or you can drop because it's too hard. Jesus said, you must love one another. He didn't say, hey, this is a new suggestion that I'm going to give to you. He said, a new commandment that I give to you in verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. It's not an elective. It's not something that we drop because it gets too hard. He says it is a command. This is in red letters. This is not a disciple saying this. This is not John the Baptist saying this. This is not Mary that's saying this. This is not some prophet from long ago. This is not Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk. It's none of the prophets. It is in red letters. Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. And church, the only way that we can love one another the way Christ has loved us is by being connected to Jesus himself. That's it. Because he showed us divinely how to love. And we can't cut ourselves off. We've got to depend on him. He's got to be the center of our universe. Amen? It is a command direct from the Lord. But what does this mean? What does it mean to love one another? Let me illustrate this for you. Last week, we went to the gutter down here, at the bowling alley. And it's the first time that I've been in there since they have remodeled. How many of you guys have been in there in 8? Seriously. Okay, well, so we went in there, and I had the best chicken panini, is that what you said? Panini sandwich I've ever had in my life. It was wonderful. Had chunks of chicken in there, had caramelized onion. That cheddar cheese was lightly toasted on. Added all kinds of, you know, those green peppers. And, oh, man, I think I want to go there right after church. I loved it. It was good. It was good. I really loved that sandwich, all right? And so the restaurant is awesome. So if you ever want to go there and eat, check out the chicken panini. It's really good. Now, I said, notice what I said. I said, I love that sandwich. But let me give you another version of what I mean. See, my boys mean the world to me. My love for them is marrow deep. I love to hear my boys tell me that they love me, especially when I don't do anything in particular to earn it or to do anything. They just come up, hug me, tell me they love me, and I love that. I love my boys. I love them because we're doing life together, because they are my blood, because I'm responsible for them, because we do things together, because we share the same house together. It's frustrating. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between frustration and love, right? Frustration comes with love. Can I get a witness this morning? That's just the way it is. Pain comes with love. Amen? And on and on and on we go. But my love for them goes much deeper than a wonderful chicken panini sandwich. There's a big, big difference, right? See, with the restaurant, I was experiencing something that they gave me to eat, a place offering me something. The restaurant fed me and provided a moment in which I could participate and eat and be elated. It's wonderful. If the experience itself wasn't excellent, I could rate it and so on and give it a positive rating on Yelp. How many of you guys have ever been on Yelp before? You can go on there and rate food and do all that stuff. And you can make a comment, a positive comment. And the same is true if you don't have a good experience. You can go on there and give it a bad review. But with my sons, I am experiencing an important relationship. My sons are people that I am intricately connected with. My love for them isn't based on what I'm receiving or experiencing, but based on who they are and what is involved in our relationship. Because I love them, I care for them. We play together, we wrestle in the floor together. We do all the things that dads and sons are supposed to do. Because we love one another, because I love them. But we work together. And I don't go on Yelp and rate my sons. it would be a different rating every single day. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. But see, the church was never meant to be like a restaurant either. It's meant to be based on relationships. This is the beginnings of first and foremost in a relationship with Jesus. It starts with Jesus first. And through that, we are connected to one another. But it has to be through Jesus. Amen? Jesus loves us and brought us into relationship with himself. His death on the cross was the act of love for us. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself up for us. Earlier in John, we are told it was because God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that we might have real life. He intentionally loved us, served us. And being brought into that relationship, we aren't only brought into a relationship with Jesus, but also in relationship with one another. Being in a relationship with Jesus means being part of the church, part of his kingdom, and part of the family of faith. But see, many people treat the church just like a restaurant. If the experience isn't just to their liking, they find somewhere else to go, or they just don't go at all. This is beyond unfortunate. This sets up expectations for the church that the church was never intended to fulfill. Also, and we have to be honest here, this isn't relationship focused, this is self-focused. This is, what can the church do for me? What does the church have for me that I can benefit? What is it that the church can do for me? It's all about self-focused and not relationship-focused. This isn't the way Jesus loved. This love is as I see fit, right? As it benefits me, as it blesses me, then I will continue to love. I will continue to support. But if one thing in that church offends me, if one thing that pastor says that isn't right, if my kids are not treated fairly, or if I'm not greeted properly, if someone doesn't call me when I'm sick, or if I'm offended in any way, then I'm done. I'll write a bad review. I'll do this. I'll slur that I see it so much. I thank God that I am in good standing in relationships with a lot of pastors in the church, in the area. Because here's one of the reasons why. Let's say one of you gets ticked off at me because of something I said or whatever. Maybe you're quote-unquote not being fed. Ooh, if you ever leave this church, do not say that to me. All right? Don't say that to me. And the reason why is because we see sometimes that church folks like to hop sometimes. And Pastor Cox may call me and say, hey, Brother Jimmy, I saw so-and-so in church the other day. Is everything okay? Oh, I don't know. I noticed they weren't here in service either. I'll check and see. And so what we do is we try to help keep one another accountable so that we can minister to you more effectively. We're doing everything we possibly can to speak into your life, to motivate you, to encourage you, to encourage you to be a part of this thing called the church. But I can't do it for you. Amen? You have got to decide within your own heart, within your own family, that you and your house today will serve the Lord. Amen? And where you will serve the Lord. Not just where you go to church, but where your church family is, where you give of yourself, your time, your talents, your treasure, and to admit to your other brothers and sisters in Christ that you are not perfect, amen? I don't wake up with my hair sticking up in the front like that. It takes something called some molding clay to get it to stand up like that, right? Your pastor's got product in his hair. That's just the way it is. I got this crazy, cowlick that just, if it grows out, it just goes, brr. I mean, there's nothing you can do with it. So this is the result of me trying to figure out what to do with crazy hair, all right? And so we are not perfect. I get on my wife's nerves and my kids' nerves. That's just the way it is. I don't walk around with a halo over my head every single day, most days, but not every day. I don't get up feeling like a strong, mighty man of God ready to put on I love my t-shirt, my church t-shirt. I got to be motivated. I got to build myself up in my faith. It's not, I've never left my walk with Christ in my pastor's hands. Because my walk with Christ is my business. Amen? I'm not called to be your Savior. I'm called to be your pastor. Amen? And all of us has to decide within ourselves that we want to be a part of this thing called the church. We've got to make up our minds that, yes, I want to love the church. I want to love it the way Jesus loved it. I want to love the church because Jesus said that it's his bride and that he died for it. I want to be a part of this thing called the church. Now, you will experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. Not just happenstance, but intentionally love the church. How do you do that? That's a good question. Let's get into that. You will have a deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice love for the church. The opposite is also true, right? So when you don't intentionally love the church, then you will not experience a love for the church. We will love the church when it is about relationships, not when it's like a restaurant. We can complain about the serving, the food, the timing, the smell of it. We can complain about everything in a restaurant. And that sometimes seeps into the church as well. But we need to understand that it's not about the pastor. It's not about how good he preaches or how bad he preaches. It's about each other, loving one another, serving one another, being involved in one another's lives. And here at New Freedom Church, we give you an opportunity to do that. And the biggest way that we give you an opportunity to do that is by small groups. If you're not part of a small group, if you don't belong to a small group, if you're afraid of small groups, take somebody with you. Use them as a buffer, right? The first thing that I noticed when I became pastor at New Freedom Church is this building was completely empty 10 minutes after the service was over. That's not to say you guys hate one another. And so I got to thinking about that, and I said, Lord, what is it I could possibly do to get people to hang around and to talk to one another? And I thought, where's the coffee thing at? Where's the coffee machine? And I realized the coffee machine was back there in the back. And so I realized that because coming to a new church sometimes is overwhelming, visitors don't tend to venture off the beaten path, right? This is familiar ground. Out there is familiar ground, but back in there, I'm not going back there. I don't know what's back there. I don't know who's back there. Somebody may corner me. I don't know what's going on back there. Right? And so I thought, I'll bring the coffee machine out here. Now, I know this is revolutionary stuff for you guys, and I know you're writing it down feverishly, all right? But what I did was I brought it out, and I put it over here, and I put lights over it. I put a canopy over it. We got three coffee mugs over there going and hot chocolate. Why did I do that? Why do we have goodies back there in the back? So that you'll stay and invest in one another's lives. You ever notice how a little bit more confident you get when you got coffee in front of you? Right? You don't just have you. You got coffee between you and the other person, right? You don't know what else to say? Take a sip of coffee. Right? You get an awkward moment where there's silence, grab a cookie. See, you guys didn't know this, and I'm letting you all in on the brilliance of my plan here. I'm trying to get you to invest in one another's lives. And sometimes by doing that, we have to gather around the water cooler sometimes. While we have potlucks, we do that so that we can be involved in one another's lives. Small groups, so that we can invest in one another's lives. Why? In small groups, we go out and do ministry together. Why do we do that? Because going out and doing ministry by yourself is scary. Right? We got together and we fed a bunch of abused families at Freedom House, right? Golden House. got together, we cooked, we used the necessities that we had, the talents that we had. We sat with their kids, we ate with them, we talked with them, and they appreciated it. And we showed them the love of Christ. Why? Not because we were obligated to, but because we're sharing life together. Because we want to be a part of one another's lives. And the only way we do that is by relationships. That's it. So, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a small group that you're going to, you want to just check one out. This Thursday, we have one at our house at 6:30. If you want to know where we live, talk to my wife or myself. We'll give you the information. Come and check it out. We eat together. We joke around together. We play, what was that we played last time? Catchphrase. We play catchphrase together. It's great. We pet Mika. She gets hair everywhere. It's wonderful. It's great. We do that all in our house, because we want to connect with you. This thing called the church is a powerful institution that Jesus himself set up so that you could be a part of it, so that you could feel that you are part of something bigger than yourself and that you can serve and use what talents you have. Well, Pastor, I don't have any talents. You know, that's a good thing you said that. From time to time, we have this thing that we do. It's called the gifts assessment class that we have. And Stephanie Hines over here, she does that. And we had, how many did we have in there last time? 10? About 10? And it goes over all kinds of gifts and questions and stuff like that, and it helps you to pinpoint where your giftings are. You see, that's what I'm talking about, intentionally doing things. You don't feel like you have gifts? Take that class. It'll point you in the right direction. Do you feel alone? Do you feel that nobody feels like you know that you're on the face of the earth? Be a part of the small group. Be a part of people that will invest in your life, and you in turn will invest in their lives. This thing is intentional, church. This is not happenstance stuff. This is intentional. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, and that is that you love one another. Loving somebody is intentional. It doesn't just happen by accident. It's intentional. Dana, and when we first got married, everything, I was looking through rose-colored glasses and still am in part. But when you first get together, it's magical. I mean, the birds are like sitting on your shoulders whistling. You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. She all the time when she's around me, her makeup's just right. Or she got curly hair. She got curly hair today. You know, stuff like that. You know, you can't say a wrong thing. And when you fight, it's even cute, right? But then you get married, and you can't go anywhere when you're fighting. You're like, I'm just going to leave. Well, I can't. I'm home. Where am I going? But you don't always feel Twitter-pated when you're around one another, right? That's an old reference, by the way. It's a cartoon reference. So. And so you don't always feel Twitter-pated around one another. You have to work at it. It's intentional. Well, I've just fallen out of love with that person. Well, fall back in love with that person. It's intentional, amen? We've got to work on this thing. Well, it's hard, Pastor. I want to leave. I know it's hard. We've all been there. And the same is true with the church. I cannot ever promise you that I will say the right thing around you, that I'll embarrass you or make you mad or frustrated at me. I can't promise you any of those things because I'm not perfect. And a lot of times I put my foot in my mouth because I'm a goofy guy. And sometimes both feet wind up in there, and it's not a pretty sight. I can't promise you that you'll not be offended in this church. I can't promise you that you will not be left out. But if you're left out, look first at yourself and ask, did I leave myself out? You see, all of this goes right back to who we are in the light of who He is. Amen? And so throughout the course of these coming weeks, we're going to learn all of these things. We're going to learn about this in closing. We're going to learn about loving by connecting with one another, being in community and fellowship and relationship with each other. Number two, we're going to love by serving. God is giving each of his followers supernatural empowered abilities to encourage and help one another in community. Did you know that you have superpowers? We're going to get into that. But we have superpowers. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so that he could come on us and to give us strength and power that is not our own, so that we can operate in a love and a power and a relationship and wisdom that is not our own. We're going to love by giving. Yes, I'm going to be talking about giving. But probably not in the way you'd expect. In fact, we won't be talking about tithing or percentages. We won't even try to force you into giving something or to guilt you into giving something. But we're going to be talking about giving of ourselves. Lastly, we're going to talk about love by sharing. The love that Jesus gives to us and that we can have for one another isn't something that's always easy. It's hard. To love someone that doesn't want to love you back, to like someone that doesn't like you, that takes more than you. It takes us operating supernaturally in the love of Christ. That the love of Christ would be welled up inside of us, that our tank would be full. So we're going to be talking about these things, and I want to invite you to stick around for these several weeks as we go through all of these things and talk about what the church is here for, why it exists, why it functions, why it still lives and breathes and has its being and presence in the earth today. You are a part of it. You are a part of it, amen? Now, some of you here today, maybe you don't know Christ at all. Maybe this whole thing that I've just told you is blowing your mind. Maybe it's something you ever heard before. Today, if you don't know Christ, you can know him today, intimately and through. And that is by doing this, repenting and turning. Repenting and turning. Asking God to forgive you. Come into your life. Repent of your sins. Yes, I said sins, not mistakes. Sin. The Bible says we were dead in our sins. But he gave us life through his son Jesus. Amen? So that we could know the love of the Father. So that we could have relationship with the Father. And we in turn can have relationship with one another. Amen? Next week we're going to be talking about love by connecting. Being in community and fellowship. In relationship with each other is more than knowing people's names and where they sit on Sunday morning. We love one another when we stand alongside one another. Being connected with one another is ensuring no one stands alone. That's what being connected is all about. By standing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember the first Sunday I was here, I told you that I didn't want you behind me. I wanted you beside me. Why? Because, yes, I'm your pastor. I'm your leader. But I also want to share life with you. And I can't do that with you behind me. It's got to be right here beside me where I can see you, where I can lean on you if I'm weak. That I can draw from you when I need understanding. And you in turn can do that to me. I have a thing in my small group called refrigerator rights. And that means that if you've been to my house more than one time in my small group, you have refrigerator rights. You don't have to ask me to go into the refrigerator. You just open the refrigerator and there you go. You have that right because we're in relationship with one another. My sons don't have to knock on the door every time they come into my house. The reason why is because I'm their dad. And because I'm their dad, they have a right to call that place their home because the relationship that I have with them. And you and I are able to call the church our home, our family, not because of who we are, but because of who our daddy is. Amen? We are a part of that family. We are a part of the church as a whole, but the church in local as well, called New Freedom Church. A place where God is doing wonderful, fantastic things. And as these weeks come up in this new year, I'm going to be sharing with you what God has been placing on my heart for this upcoming year. It's blowing my mind. I'm scared to death. But it's okay, because I got you to help me. I got you to encourage me. I got you to help me out. Amen. You willing to do that? You willing to stick around these weeks and learn what this church is supposed to be about and what your function and role is? Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to change your life. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much that you have given us a blueprint on how to love one another, how to serve one another, how to do life together. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this campaign, this series, I pray, Father, that you would begin to lay upon our heart the necessity to be a part of this beating heart of the church. Show us where we fit in. Show us, God, where you desire our life to be. Show us where you want us to function. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to lead this wonderful church. Because, Lord, you have placed me in charge of some wonderful people that I believe are going to do extraordinary things by your Spirit. So, Father, prepare our hearts and our minds for action. Prepare us and make us ready, Father, to love one another, to serve one another, so that this community will know that we are your disciples because we love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.